The theme of the conference, as you all know, is in everything, give thanks. Now, apart from being saved, God's will is that we all come to the knowledge of the truth. And many times we think, what is God's will for my life? Well, one of those things is that you should be thankful in all things always, because it expressly says so in His Word. Now, we all know what giving thanks is. But I like this definition. It says it's the act of expressing gratitude for favor or mercy. So you can't be thankful if you have nothing to be thankful for, right? So I want us to consider a few verses in the scripture where it talks about giving thanks. So let's all turn to Colossians 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Our next verse is verse 15 of the same chapter. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's start at verse 16, though. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we see in that verse that it is God's will for us to be thankful. Being thankful is a big deal to God. And sometimes we may think that it's a tall order for God to expect us to be thankful always and in all things. It's easy to be thankful when things are going well in our life, when we have job security, when we're healthy, when we're young and we have lots of energy, when our kids are doing well at school, and the weather's beautiful. It's easy to be thankful then. But how can we be thankful when we're facing a major challenge in our life? How is it that we can be thankful even in that? Do you find it difficult to be thankful when you or a loved one are facing a health issue, difficult decisions that need to be made, when you're experiencing financial strains, when you're having relationship problems, when there's a death or loss in your family, or just the challenges of daily life? You may think that God is being unreasonable when he says, be thankful in everything, always. When we look at Scripture, we will see that it is not unreasonable for God to desire that we should be thankful always and in all things, nor is it an impossibility to have a thankful heart despite of these circumstances. Why is that? Because when we study the Scripture, we see that God has made every provision for our salvation and for coping with the details of life. And He has provided for our salvation, and He has provided the information that we need to be able to walk as believers, and to be thankful and to be content and to have peace and to have joy in the midst of what's going on around us. We are told in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, and I'd like us to turn there. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and ye, and he's talking to believers there. The Colossians are the believers that lived in Colossae. And he says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So, God is telling us that we are complete in Christ. If something is complete, is it lacking anything? So there's no shortcoming, there's nothing that is lacking. Everything has been provided, and he tells us that we are complete in Christ. So we lack absolutely nothing, and we have everything at our disposal to live in light of who God has made us to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that includes being thankful in all things, always. So, is it unreasonable for God to desire that for us? No, we see it's not. Now, whether we are thankful or not is dependent on what we are doing with what God has given us and what He has provided for us. Now, we know that God has given us His Word. We believe His Word to be true, and we know that He has given it to us. And 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study God's Word rightly divided. That means we need to separate truth from truth. God was dealing with the nation of Israel in time past, and in this dispensation of His grace is dealing with the body of Christ. So there are certain sections of your Bible that is written to and about the nation of Israel, and there are parts in the Bible that is written directly to the body of Christ and about the body of Christ. And those sections are Romans through Philemon. So if you want to know what's written directly to you and about you, those are the portions that you should be focusing on. You don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. All Scripture is given for our learning, and it's a comfort to us when we read those Scriptures. But if you want to know exactly what your instructions are, that's where you should be going. So, anyway, he's given us that body of truth. And so our thankfulness is going to be dependent on what we're doing with that and where our focus is as believers. Being unthankful, we know, comes naturally to our flesh. And when I say our flesh, I'm talking about our sin nature that we are born with, because it is selfish and self-gratifying. Its focus is self and self-indulgence. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2 tells us that men shall be lovers of their own selves. You see, it's self-centered, covetous, always wanting what we don't have, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Unthankfulness is listed among all those sins. So can we agree that being unthankful is a sinful thing? And being unthankful is often expressed by complaining, by murmuring, by being discontent. That is how we express it. And unthankfulness is a condition of your heart. And it is reflected, our thoughts are reflected by the way that we act. So when we look in the mirror, we see our face. When we're unthankful, it's a reflection of what's going on inside of our hearts and what we're focusing on. In Romans 1:21, and you can turn there if you like, we're just going to focus a little bit on unthankfulness. And this passage is talking about the Gentile nations. It says, for the invisible things of Him, that is God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It's basically saying that God's creation testifies of who He is. It speaks of His eternal power and His Godhead, who He is. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So we see here that even though they had the knowledge of God, they chose not to glorify Him, and they were unthankful. Being unthankful is a big deal to God. If we look at Israel's history, we see that they were continuously unthankful and murmuring against God. Why would they want to be unthankful and murmur and complain against God when He brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand? We know all the mighty wonders and signs that He did. He fed them manna in the wilderness. He gave them water. He healed them. He conquered their enemies for them. Yet they were complaining and murmuring and being unthankful. Why would they do that when He demonstrated time and time again His capacity to be their great provider? If you look at this one psalm in particular, Psalm 78, you can go and read that whole chapter if you would. I'm just going to pull out a few verses in that chapter to show you what they did. Verse 11 says, "And they forget His works and His wonders that He had showed them." Verse 42 says, "They remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy." So what did they do? Why were they unthankful and why were they complaining and murmuring? Because they forgot what God had done. It wasn't before them. They put it behind them. They chose to forget God's mighty hand and the fact that He was their great provider. In Psalm 103, verse 2, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Remember, we said that being thankful is expressing gratitude for favor or mercy. Did God show them favor and mercy? He certainly did. And He showed it in His signs and His wonders, but they chose to forget it. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." That is something that we should take note of. We can say, "Oh, those Israelites were bad people." Right? And we may be right about that because, you know, it was a bad thing for them to be unthankful. But let us not be too quick to condemn them because we are inclined to do the same. God may not be parting the Red Sea for us, feeding us from heaven with manna. He may not be manipulating our circumstances, healing us when we're sick, you know, taking a situation away from us, because God's not in the business of doing that. We can't claim those promises because they weren't made to us. But we fall into the same trap because we forget what God has done for us by Christ Jesus. And the point I'm trying to make is that even though it's good for us to give thanks for the things that are around us, our physical comforts, and our earthly blessings, that should not be the foundation or the source of our hope and our thanks in life. Because, as we know, those things could soon change. If our circumstances are overwhelming us and we struggle to find things to be thankful for, we may need to examine ourselves to see whether we are making use of that which God has provided for us in this dispensation of grace. And when I say that, I want you to understand that these are things that I have experienced in my life too. Because we find ourselves, as we go through life, you know, we get married, we have young children, we struggle, you know, with raising them, we're tired, you know, it's not easy to raise children. Does anybody agree with that? You know, and you know, you face a lot of challenges in life. Your life makes turns, and you know, you find yourself in situations that overwhelm you, and then you forget very quickly what it is you should be thankful for, because you're focusing on what's going on around you. And it's for that reason that I want us to consider basically two things. And if we consider the two things, and we will see that we will be able to be thankful in all things always. I want us to consider this, that we need to seek after those things which are above. We need to, in other words, we need to be established in the faith. What does that mean? It means that we need to get grounded in God's Word. There are some things that we need to know, and there are some things that we need to come to an understanding to so that we can cope with whatever is going on around us. And when we find ourselves in that situation, those things that we know and that we've been established and grounded in, we make a choice to set our affection or our focus on those things. And then we will be thankful always and in all things. So it's with that said that I want us to consider now to be established in the faith, what it means to be established in the faith and to seek those things which are above. Now, we, as I said before, we all have a Bible and we believe it to be God's Word. And I believe that this is my final authority. Whatever this says, I'm going to believe it because God's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. So I'm going to have confidence in his Word. And I'm going to believe it for what it is. I've already mentioned that if we want to get an understanding of God's Word and not get confused about what is for us and what is not for us, we need to rightly divide His Word, because we could run into trouble because we claim things that aren't meant for us. And then we're going to have unrealistic expectations from God, and then we're not going to be thankful either, because why is He not doing it for me? And I've been there too and experienced that in my life before I started understanding that about studying His Word rightly divided. Now, I mentioned before that Romans through to Philemon is the portion of Scripture that God has given directly to the body of Christ and is their instruction and their edification. And just in case you think I'm lying, I want us to go and consider the Word. So go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm a very systematic person. I have to figure things out, so I start at the beginning and I work my way through and then I kind of wrap it up at the end. So maybe it all seems a little bit vague right now, but hopefully you'll see where I'm going with this. Chapter 3 of Ephesians and verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, that's Paul the apostle of the Gentiles, he says, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So the point I'm trying to make there is that this revelation was given to Paul for the Gentiles. We are all the Gentiles. I'm not an Israelite, so I'm a Gentile. God has given this information to the Gentiles for our edification. And The portion that was given by inspiration of God to Paul is the books Romans through Philemon. Now, why am I telling you all of that? That's technical information. So what has it got to do with being thankful? It's this information that's going to establish you as a believer. To be established is different from being established. Established is the process. Your establishment is the end result. To be established means to be firmly grounded, unmovable, steadfast, not shaken. So that's where we want to be as a believer. We want to get to that point where we are unmovable, unshakable, not in our own ability, but in the doctrine. It doesn't say be unshakable, unmovable in yourself. It says to do that in the doctrine. So to be established means to be firmly grounded, and God wants us to be firmly established. In Ephesians 1, verse 9, Paul prays, Paul tells us in chapter 1 all the spiritual blessings that are given to us. And one of those is that verse 8 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. You see, God has not just saved us. He says he wants us to come to the knowledge of the truth, and he has given it to us. He says he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That which is going to provide us with wisdom and prudence in this life, he has given to us, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's how he's given it to us. It's this body of information, the truth, the doctrine, that's found in his word, particularly in from Romans to Philemon for the body of Christ. Let's go back to Romans 16:25, because I'm going to show you that God says what God says is going to establish the believer. And who it is that is going to establish you. Verse 24 of Romans chapter 16 says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And now he commends them to the Lord. Now to him that is of power to establish you. So who's the one that has the power to establish you, make you firm as a believer? It is God, right? According to my gospel, why does Paul call it his gospel? It's because it's the information that God had given him to give to us. Remember that chapter that I read in Ephesians? He says, from Godward to youward, from God to youward. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So what is it that's going to establish you? It's his gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It's not the preaching of Jesus Christ according to his earthly ministry to the nation of Israel that's going to establish you as a believer. What he was teaching them, what he was saying, is not for the body of Christ today. That is not going to establish you. Is it bad information? No. But it's just not your instructions. So if you want to be established as a believer, you're going to go to that part which is for you, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So, it's this information that we are going to focus on as believers and get established in that. Get firmly grounded, settled, and secured. So that we can have the stability that we need. You see, this is where God has provided for you. You will find out what are all your spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's not just good enough to get saved by grace through faith. You need to understand some things. You need to start knowing some things about who He's made you to be now in Christ. You're not the same person anymore. You're a new creature in Christ. You need to find that out. You have a new identity. And you need to know how to function in your new identity and how he enables you to do so. All these truths and many more are found in his word. So we need to find that out. It is that body of truth that will give us the stability and teach us how to live and function as believers. Without it, you're going to be tossed this way and you're going to be tossed that way. You're not going to know what to believe. You're not going to know who you are. And that's going to provide you with no stability. So now you may still be saying, so what has this got to do with being thankful? We'll get there. You're going to learn that God's word is central to your entire being as a believer. It begins there and it's going to end there always. And, you know, God has magnified his word above his name. Just think about that. Do you think he has placed a lot of importance on his word? He sure has. And I think that until we value it the way God values it, we will never get to that place where we can have the stability that we really need. When we understand how God's word works, we will start relying on it a lot more often than we do. Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful. What does it mean? It's alive. That word quick means it's alive. It's not just words on a page. When we receive the word of God as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually worketh also in you that believe, that's what it's going to do. You receive it as God's word, not as the word of men. You receive it as it is in truth, God's word. You believe it. That means you are persuaded by it. You know it to be true. And not only so, but you will yield to it. That is where not just the knowledge comes in, but the understanding. The spiritual understanding part comes in. He's given us the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's not just good enough for us to know the differences between Israel and the body of Christ and all that stuff. Knowledge puffs you up if that's all you're going to gain. But this doctrine is meant to produce something in your life. It's meant to produce a walk. It's meant to produce stability. And when we believe it, it's going to do exactly what it's meant to do. You have a resident teacher in your life. Who is that? That's the Holy Ghost. So when you put the word in, He uses it. It's quick, it's powerful, and it accomplishes what it's meant to do. So the key to a believer's edification is to be rooted and built up in sound doctrine and to be established in the faith. You know, when Paul prays, what does Paul pray about? Let's have a look. I want us to focus on the importance of being established in the faith. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And you can go to all these epistles and you can see what Paul is praying about, and you're going to see a thread going through. What he focuses on is prayer. He doesn't pray about changing circumstances. Verse 16. Cease not to give thanks. Sorry, he's talking to the Lord. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. So he's praying for the saints. He's thanking God for the saints, and he's praying for them. What is he praying? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. So he wants him to know something, right? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. He wants us to understand those things. The exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He wants us to understand that God is mighty. God is the one that works in us. God is the one that is going to accomplish this in us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that works in us. So what's he praying about? Physical things or spiritual things? Spiritual things that he wants. And then, if you carry on in Ephesians, it's going to tell them all that information that he's just prayed about. So where are we going to find out what God wants us to know? We need to give attention to the word. We need to believe it, and it's going to establish us. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Where's your strength? Your strength is going to be in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means your strength is going to be in the doctrine. That's where you're going to find your strength. We need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, because the time will come when we're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier. We need to be building with the doctrine, so that our faith is strengthened. And when the time comes, we're going to know to rely on those things that we know to be true. You see, it's important for us to remember that the battle that's taking place is not a physical battle. It's something that takes place in our mind. When you're being unthankful, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about yourself. You're having a pity party. Ask me, I know. I often have a pity party. Woe is me. I'm having such a tough time. I'm so busy. I have no time for myself. What is it all centered around? Me, myself, and I. We're having a pity party. But the battle takes place up here because we're focusing on this that's going on around us. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, you can write this down if you want to. If you don't want to turn, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I would like us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start at verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh," are we living a physical life? Yes, we are. "We do not war after the flesh." This is not a physical battle. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," which is fleshly, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So where's the battle taking place? The battle is taking place in your mind. That's where it's taking place. It's not a physical thing. It's what you are thinking about. And that is why it's important for us, when we are going to stand as believers, we need to stand in the right things. Ephesians 6 verse 13 tells us to do something as well. Because this is not a physical battle, because it's a spiritual one, it tells us what to do. You're probably thinking, she's not even talking about being thankful. Let's go to verse 13. Well, sorry, I'm going to change my mind. Okay, verse 10. Verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We've read that verse before. We know that's where our strength is going to be. It's going to be in the Lord and in His power and might. Tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because verse 12 tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." So it doesn't tell us to take up arms. It tells us to put on the whole armor of God. This is what God has provided for every believer, because we're facing a spiritual battle. Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Does this seem like an easy time? No, battles are not easy. So God's not going to take the circumstance away, but He's provided the armor. And He tells us to put it on. And He tells us to put all of it on. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Where do you find that? In the Word. That's why we need to be established in the truth. We need to have the Word of God in us. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." That's part of the righteousness of Christ. He's imputed His righteousness to us. We need to understand that. "Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And above all, "taking the shield of faith." That once again is the body of truth. That is your shield. "Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So when those darts come your way, what are you going to do? You're going to use the faith. It's not your faith. It's the information that God has provided for you to help you to stand and to quench the fiery darts of the wicked and to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So God tells us what it is that is going to be our armor, our protection, and our weapons in this battle that's taking place in the mind, so that we can stand and endure hardness and be thankful in all things always. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 teaches us that when we receive God's word, as it is written in truth, it effectually works in those that believe. So it's our responsibility to allow God to do that in our life. We see that God has put a lot of emphasis on what to do with grace truth. He says to stand fast in it. That's where you're going to find your stability. He tells us to hold fast onto it. That means you really need to get a grip on it. To be assured of it. And not only that, to continue in it. I'm just going to give you some verses. If you want to write these down, you can go to 2 Thessalonians 2:15. You can also go to 2 Timothy 1:13, where it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me." In 2 Timothy 3:14, he tells Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." There's something you need to do with the doctrine. You need to take heed to it and to continue in it. In Philippians 4 verse 8, let's go there if you would. I know we're doing a lot of Bible paging here, but you know what? It's God's Word. He says, Paul's writing to the Philippians, and he says, further up in the chapter, he tells them to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, to be careful for nothing, but to take it to the Lord in prayer, and God's going to give them the peace that they need. And then he says, finally, brethren, and he tells them what to think on. And then verse 9, he says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So give attention to the doctrine, to that body of information that God has given to us via Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. So that was the section on why it's important for every believer to be established in the faith, to be rooted and built up in Christ. It's because that is what's your foundation. That is what's going to give you stability. It's your resources. Years ago, and this is quite a long time ago that I heard this message. You may know who this lady is. She's from Chicago. Her name's Barbara Wilkie. And she did a lesson on God's Word is Enough. And she was talking about Jochebed, Moses' mother, who was in a very, very difficult situation. She had a little baby. And what was happening at that time in Egypt? That's right. Pharaoh had instructed the midwives to kill the baby boys as they were being born. Well, the midwives didn't do that and said, "Well, you know, these women are so quick in having, you know, in childbirth that we can't do that." But they purposely did not kill the babies. Well, then he said, all the male children need to be thrown in the river. They need to be killed. Well, the third child's born and it's a boy. So she's in this situation. But she knew that in prophecy it said that in that generation, the deliverer would come out of that generation. She trusted God's word. And she made a plan. And she was just one of the examples. And it really struck a chord with me that One thing that she reiterated was that you may not be going through a situation right now, but the time will come when you will. And where are you going to draw your strength from? What is it that you're going to fall back on when everything else around you is crumbling? Is it your own strength, or are you going to rely on the resources that you've built up inside of you, the Word of God? And it was at that time that it's like for those V8 moments, you know, when you get the knock on the head. It was something like that, and it was a lesson that I had learned. And I realized that, you know, we don't want to be scrambling as believers when we find ourselves in a situation. Even though things are going fine right now, we still need to give attention to God's Word. That is what we should be seeking after. That should be a priority in our life. Which brings us now to our next point. Now that we're in the process of building up the doctrine inside of us, understanding who we are in Christ, what is given us to cope with the details of our life, when the time comes, that's where we're going to set our focus. We need to have a spiritual focus as believers. You know, we live in this world. But Philippians tells us that our conversation is where? In heaven. God has a purpose with us in the heavenlies. While we're here, we preach the gospel, we warn people, we teach, we do all those things. And we build up, we build with the doctrine. And it doesn't just provide for this life, it's providing for the life that we're going to have in heavenly places and fulfilling God's purpose there. So that should be our focus. And I want us to go to Colossians chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 1. And it says there, if ye then be risen with Christ. Are they risen with Christ? Are believers risen with Christ? Is that your position? Yes, that is our position. So we are. It says, if you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So if that is our position as believers, where should our focus be? That's where it should be. It should be seeking those things which are above. It says in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's where your focus should be. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What does that mean? We're all alive, right? But positionally, your old man is supposed to be dead. You're dead, but alive in God. Okay, that is your identity issues. He's bringing us back to our identity, saying this is who you are in Christ, and because this is who you are in Christ, this is not all the details. You have to go to Romans chapter 6 if you want to understand your identity in Christ. But in a nutshell, it says this is who you are in Christ, and because of this, this is where your focus needs to be. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So where's your focus? Your focus is on spiritual things, and your focus is looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is your hope. That's where you should be looking. Okay, so verse 2 tells us to do something. It says, set your affection. All right? In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, it tells us, while we look not at the things which are seen, those are all the physical, the earthly things, but at the things which are not seen, can you see your spiritual blessings? No, you can't see any of that stuff. Okay, but that's where you're supposed to be looking. Where are you going to see it? Yeah. This is where you're going to see it. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are eternal. Often, we have our focus or our affection and security in the temporal, the things that are earthly, the things that can be seen. There is no security in that. Absolutely no security in that. Without realizing it, we are often just happy and not joyful. Happiness is dependent on your circumstances. Happiness means happenstance. Okay, so when things are going well, we're happy. When things are going wrong, we're in the doldrums and we're not happy and we're unthankful. We know that the things that are temporal, the things that are earthly, there's no stability in that. All right, it says, the scripture says that riches are fleeting. They soon vanish away. Okay? It also says that the outward man is perishing. We may be looking fine, we may not be ill today, but you know, this outward man is still perishing. It's getting older. It's not, my body is not as agile and vibrant as it used to be when I was a teenager. I know I'm getting older and my hair's gray, you know, but that's just the way that the physical life is. People are often going to disappoint us. Our kids aren't always going to be good. When they grow up, they're going to make their own decisions, their own choices. You can't control them. So that may cause us a little bit of discomfort and unhappiness. So we know the fact is that the earthly things are temporal. We cannot have stability in that. They're always changing. And if our happiness and security is going to be dependent on these things, we are going to live a very miserable life. Two words stand out in this passage. The first is seek, and the other one is set. This is something that you choose to do as a believer. You choose to seek after the things that are above, and you choose to set your affection on things above. I looked at the definition of affection, and it says zealous attachment, and I really love that, you know. We need to have a zealous attachment to the things that are spiritual, to the things that God tells us in His Word. And it's important for us, when we set our affection on those things, that is what we're focusing on. And we focus on the spiritual things instead of the things that are eternal. Do you know when you leave this earth, we can take nothing with us, right? What is the only thing that you're going to take with you when you go into eternity? Have you ever thought about it? The only stuff you're going to take with you is what you've built up inside of you, of doctrine. That will never leave you. So whatever you build up, your work will be burned, and whatever remains is what's going to be there. Is it going to be gold, silver, or precious stones, or is it going to be wood, hay, or stubble? Because the gold, silver, and precious stones is the doctrine that remains. The wood, hay, and stubble is everything else. Okay, so that should bring us to the realization that this doctrine is very important. Whatever we build up inside of us, doctrine is all that we're going to take with us. Because we're going to use that in eternity. Have you ever thought about that? You know, whatever God has provided for us here, we're taking with us. And that's going to be used there. So that's where our focus needs to be. That's what we need to rely on. It's the knowledge and the understanding of our spiritual blessings that enable us to get through the challenges of this life. So when you're facing a difficult circumstance, you make a choice to set your focus on the Word, and you thank God for it. Can you thank God for the situation? Are you happy about what's going on? I'm sure you won't be, right? Because none of us are happy about difficult situations. But what are you going to rejoice in? Your rejoicing is where? In the Lord. Your thankfulness is going to be in the Lord. When we were going through the immigration process, it was a very, very unsettling time in our life. You know, it was, I don't want to say easy, but it was easier to make the decision to leave South Africa, sell whatever we had, and move over here with two suitcases each and four plastic containers with some essentials. Each one of us had one tub for personal things that we wanted to bring, maybe something that had sentimental value or something that we needed or whatever. The rest was all necessities for ministry or whatever. Whatever didn't fit into your two suitcases, stayed behind. Gave it away, whatever, sold it, whatever. So that's how we came over. It was almost easier to do that than go through the immigration process where everything's up in the air and you don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. Because we had a visa. We came over with religious visas. My husband had the R1, which was a visa that allowed him to do ministry and to receive compensation for that. Well, myself and the children, we're on R2 visas, which means we accompanied him. We weren't allowed to work. So, you know, financially we were struggling, and we were basically using our savings to supplement our income. Or some of the money that we brought over from South Africa. So we were under financial strain because I wasn't allowed to work, and our visa was for 3 years. So within that time, we needed to apply for an extension of our current visa. The church wanted us to stay permanently, so we needed to apply to change our status. Because you have to get permission to apply to change for another. It's all this red tape, and I'll tell you what, the hoops that you have to jump through, the paperwork that you have to do, it was this high of pages of information that we had to provide. They had just about everything about us. The only thing they didn't have was a blood sample. And so going through that was very, very difficult. And we got to the point where we were hearing nothing back from the immigration department. Our visa that we came into the country with had expired. Des wasn't able to drive because his driver's license expired because they only extended up until the time that you're allowed to be in the country. So we were basically illegal aliens. And I'm laughing about this now, but it was so stressful to the point where I was driving everybody around because I was riding on my international license. The kids, we were trying to protect them from all the stress and the strain, but it got to the point where I said to the Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. I'm just so stressed out. It's consuming me. All I can think about is, what are we going to do? I started looking online. I started looking at what it's going to cost to get ourselves set up in South Africa again. And I'm thinking, Lord, we can't afford to go back. You know, it was just, I was driving myself insane by my circumstances. And I realized that I was looking at what was going on around me. And I couldn't focus. I couldn't function on a daily basis because that's all that I was thinking about. And I realized that I needed to seek the things which are above, and I needed to set my affection on those things to get through every single day. You know what I did? I put God's word wherever I could see it. I put it on my computer. My computer's wallpaper, the background was Bible verses. My screensaver was verses running across the screen. I put it on my refrigerator. I put it in my bathroom next to the mirror. I put it wherever I could see it so that I could remind myself constantly, because it was a battle. It really was a battle that was taking place in my mind about the situation that we were in. And I can tell you from experience that was the only thing that got me through, the only thing that kept me sane in that time. Thankfully, everything worked out, and we are permanent residents here. But let me tell you, it wasn't 2 days that we were going through that. It was years. It was a long period of time that we were struggling to get all these things in place. And it felt like an eternity while we were going through it. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that, you know, He was the one that gave us the strength to get through it when I started relying on Him and started focusing on what I needed to focus on. So I just want you to understand that, you know, you can think, oh, it's easy for you to say, maybe you've never gone through a difficulty that I've gone through. Believe me, the Lord knows you, okay? And He says that He's met all our need according to His riches in glory. And we'll look a little bit about that in the next lesson. But I want us to understand that that we need to seek after and set our affection on spiritual things, because it's going to give us the focus and the trust in God's ability to handle our situations. And when we do that, thankfulness will be a response to what we see in God's Word and what we focus on. We need to be thankful for these things, because these things will never change. Our circumstances might, but there is stability and there is security in Christ. Verse 8 and 9 of Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to close with this. Philippians 4 verse 8 and 9 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And I can truly say that doing that does bring peace. And it does bring joy, and it does bring thankfulness. When you focus on those things, you learn to be thankful for the things that can't change. And you thank the Lord for the security that you have in Him, for all the many blessings that He has provided for you. And you allow His Word to renew your mind on a daily basis, so that that's what you're thinking on. And the result will be thanksgiving to God. And there is a verse for that. Let us go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." That is something that you allow. It's a choice you make. "In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's what the word's going to do for you. It's going to allow you to have a different focus, and you're going to be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Those are all word-based. And singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." You see, there's a process. When we allow God's Word to saturate us, we're renewing our mind. We're filling our mind with the things that we need to seek after and focus on. And when we do so, it renews us. And whatever's in the heart is going to be expressed, right? What do? Sing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks unto the Lord. So if you want to be thankful in all things, always, we need to seek after spiritual things, get established in the doctrine, and then make a choice to focus on those things moment by moment. And this is a lifelong process. And we will be able to give thanks to the Lord, because He has done so much for us. And we just need to concentrate and focus on that. In our next session, we're going to consider contentment and joyfulness, and how that having this information, what happens practically, basically, when we find ourselves in circumstances that are adverse. and contrary to us.